Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. This Friday and Saturday, the inaugural High Mud Comedy Festival comes to Massmoka in North Adams, Massachusetts, and will feature acclaimed national comedians and local stand-up heroes. Tig Notaro headlines the festival, which will also feature Ophira Eisenberg, Sean Patton, and the Massmoka return of our guest, comedian, writer, musician, actor, radio host, and man about town, Dave Hill. Dave Hill fast facts before we start talking. He hosts a Monday night show on WFMU and contributes to This American Life. His band, Valley Lodge, tours globally and performs the theme song for HBO's Last Week Tonight. He often competes, if that's the word for it, on At Midnight on Comedy Central. His first book is entitled Tasteful Nudes, and his upcoming book is Dave Hill Doesn't Live Here Anymore. His first comedy album came out last June on A Special Thing Records and is called Let Me Turn You On.
I've been having this problem lately, and maybe this is a mistake maybe some of you are making about me right now, but I often get mistaken for a woman. And I know a lot of you are like, oh, come on, Dave, I don't see that at all. But some of you are like, actually, I could kind of see that, Dave. But it's true, I get mistaken for a woman every couple months or so, which is a lot when you consider the fact that I technically am a man person. And I don't know if it's because of my delicate features or I sort of have like a casual elegance about me. And I kind of have mom hair. It's like long-ish without being long, but it's kind of fun and it's like very well suited for the on-the-go lifestyle, like dropping kids off at soccer practice or throwing like a really fun last-minute pizza party. Basically, whatever you need to get done, I could totally get it done with this haircut. And usually what'll happen is I'll be like out to dinner, like on a date or with a female friend of my sister's. The point is I'm like a fully functioning woman. And the waiter will come over to the table and just be like, can I get you ladies anything to drink? Or I'll be at the grocery store and I'll go to the checkout and the cashier will be like, did you find everything you're looking for, man? And in either case, they don't go like, oh my God, I'm so, so sorry. I thought you were a woman, but clearly you're a man. They just very quickly call me sir. Like I'm not gonna notice at all. That up until a second ago, they totally thought that I lived my life as a woman. And it's fine. I'm not mad. It doesn't hurt my feelings. Like I don't feel sorry for myself. But I do feel sorry for the woman they imagine me to be.
Dave Hill, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you for having me.
We're looking forward to having you at Massmoka. It's going to be a great festival, it looks like.
Yeah, I'm excited. Tig, Sean Patton, Ophira Eisenberg, Cavalcade of Stars. I love it. I've been to Massmoka before, and I had a lovely time.
It was a number of years ago, wasn't it?
It was. I don't know how many years ago. Too many years ago. I've been away too long.
So I know this is a get-to-know-you question that you get a lot, but you do comedy writing, acting, and music. What came first, and how did it develop into the career you currently have?
Probably of those, music, you know, I grew up like a lot of people, I guess, wanting to just rock out, melt faces. So, you know, played in bands since I was a teenager and all that, and then I sort of drifted into writing because my sister was a journalist. I was just kind of a deadbeat living in her house, so I started doing that, and then I wound up in New York writing for TV, and between playing in bands, you know, I was like talking on stage in between songs, and then writing, you know, I just liked writing jokes and silly things. So then, you know, I wound up in New York and a friend was running a comedy show in the back of a bar on the Lower East Side and asked me if I wanted to try doing a set one night. So I said, sure. And then I got asked to come back and I just kind of took it from there. And I think it was just, I didn't really think like, oh, I want a career in comedy. I just thought of like whatever I was doing right then, you know, like my friend wants me to do a show, I'll do that. And then like, oh, someone wants me to do a thing tomorrow, I'll do that. And I think it just grew very naturally and organically because I didn't have any goals whatsoever to make a career out of it. And so it was sort of a very accidental career. I didn't grow up, like, doing plays or any of that stuff. So to make my living doing comedy and all that is something I never would have expected. And I still, you know, make music and things like that. But, you know, comedy is kind of, I guess, my day job or whatever, even though it usually takes place at night. But,
right, and doesn't work as well during the day.
No, it can, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's better if people are drunk.
So if you didn't plan on doing a set the first time you did a set, what kind of material did you do, or did that come naturally to you as well, getting up and talking?
The first show I did, I didn't have anything planned, so I just read something. You know, I had been keeping a journal just to stay in the practice of writing, you know, the saying of, you know, write every day if you want to be a writer or whatever. So I would just write down whatever every day. So I just picked like a little page or two from, you know, rambling about whatever, and I just read it on stage. And sort of unintentionally, you know, I was drinking a Coke at the time, and I realized people were laughing about me drinking a Coke and holding this piece of paper and stuff, you know, and I sort of realized that just from that very first time that it was more about their performance than what I was saying. You know, what I was saying was important, but it was like kind of this combination of everything that was happening. And I sort of, from that very first time, sort of, you know, I was like, oh, like, this was fun, I'll do it again. And then so really for like almost the first year, I mostly just read things. But then from that, it sort of evolved into, you know, because I was really nervous, you know, terrified to do it. But I didn't have a goal to become a comedian, really. I just thought, like, well, I'll do this, and if nothing else, it'll help me, like, be less nervous going to someone's house for dinner or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just did that, and then I was so nervous that I couldn't hide it, and then I thought, like, well, rather than try to hide it, I'll just use that as part of my act or whatever. And I thought, well, if I'm anxious, I'm going to make everyone anxious with me, you know. So that kind of was kind of how it started. I was just so anxious about it, and then I said, well, let's see if I can make a whole room full of people anxious, and just grew from there, I guess. And now, you know, it's 10 years later, and the racket continues.
Last summer, you put out your debut comedy album, Let Me Turn You On.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know
yeah.
that it was time to put out a record, a comedy record?
I had been kind of wanting to, and I think I was at the point where I felt like I was at a point in what I was doing live where I felt it was maybe time to maybe document it in some way. This is something I was proud of, what I was doing, and I was like, well, it'd be cool to, you know, because I'm sure I'll move on and evolve into doing something else eventually. You know, my act will change, so I had been, a record label got in touch initially, and I was talking with them a little bit, and we never really got anything together. And then my buddy Greg Barris, who's a hilarious comedian, he was doing a record for a Special Thing Records, which is a great label. They do a lot of comedy albums. Well, they do all comedy albums. So Greg was doing a taping of his album and asked me to just do the show with him. And while we were there, he's like, oh, you know, you should do an album with these guys, and Ryan and Matt from A Special Thing. And they were like, yeah, we'd love to do it. So it was actually, like, very easy, you know. It was just kind of like, you know, like, oh, sure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, like, I've been on other record labels for music, and this is my first comedy label, but it's the only record label I've ever been on that actually mailed me checks. Without me asking, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
So I was so blown away because, you know, usually to get a record label to send you a check when they, you know, you have to beg them for it. But these guys just started sending me checks, and I emailed them. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is such strange behavior. They're just sending me money.
Did you guys mean to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, it just seemed like you never hear of a record label just sending a check without, you know, being begged to do it. So, and it's nice that people can discover me in their own time, you know, by checking out the album, whether they buy it or Spotify or iTunes or whatever. And then hopefully, you know, over the next year or two, I'll come up with enough new stuff to do a new album.
In May, your next book is coming out, Dave Hill Doesn't Live Here Anymore.
Yeah,
is the writing for the book and the stage comedy stuff, is any of it related, or how separate are they?
I don't know. They'd be sort of, some of it overlaps, but, you know, I guess on my onstage stuff that I do is a bit sillier, and with the books, you know, I'm sort of, there's a bit of that, and there's, you know, there's definitely, like, if you see me live and then read the book, it's not like two wildly different things or anything. But I think with the books, you know, it's fun to, it allows me to like talk about things that maybe I don't really talk about on stage, you know, more, it's more about death and things, death and more depressing things, I guess. More real life, I guess. I think on stage I like to be more absurd, and then with the books, you know, I think with my first book, Tasteful News, and then now this book, Dave Hill Doesn't Live Here Anymore, they've been kind of weirdly, and I didn't intend this at all, but they sort of weirdly match up with, like, what I've been talking about with my therapist during the course of the time I was writing the book. Like, and I realized that it was the first one, you know, when I finished, I was like, oh, man, this is all the same stuff that I pay this guy to sit here and listen to me talk about it. And then the new book ended up about that. You know, like, the first book sort of ends with me talking about, like, my mother died, and sort of, like, that's kind of where the book ends. Mm-hmm. And then this new book is more about the past few years since my mother's been gone, and about my relationship with my dad, and sort of, you know, the dynamic of that changing and stuff. You know, like, you, I think a lot of people, and certainly with, you know, I was close with both my parents, but you can call home and you talk to your mom, and then she's like, oh, dad's in the basement, he says hello, and then next thing you know, you haven't actually talked to your dad for, you know, weeks or months, you know, and then now it's so... This book is sort of like what happens when, like, the middle person is gone. Like, now my dad and I, you know, we have to really call each other if we want to talk. We can't just say hello through my mother, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of about that. But so I think it's a bit more serious than I talk about on stage. But it's definitely, you know, a humor book, at least, you know, in theory. I think people will think it's humorous.
You write a love advice column for the music and film website, The Talk House. How did that come to be?
That just started
the end of last
Michael
month.
Michael Azarad, who I think actually just left The Talk House, but he's a great writer and music journalist. I've been writing stuff for them, and then he, just last month, Valentine's Day, I wrote like a playlist for Valentine's Day, like 10 songs for lovers or something like that. And then he had this idea, and, you know, so it's just very, I think pretty much everything I do is just like, someone's like, hey, Dave, do you want to do this? And I was just like, okay. I'm a bit of a dope, really.
That doesn't seem true.
So he just asked me to do it, and I called it Hot Love because it's a song, both there's a Cheap Trick song called Hot Love, and there's a T-Rex song called Hot Love, and those are two of my favorite bands, so... Yeah, so we just started doing it, and it's been fun so far. I love The Talk House.
So if people propose you to do something and you agree, have you regretted that ever? Has it ever backfired? Have you ever ended up doing something that didn't turn out the way you'd hoped when you accepted it?
Not really.
That's great.
I mean, there's certainly things that don't go according to plan, but I actually love... Unless it's, like, really a bad, you know, a thing that ends up, you know, putting me in a bad position, you know, I kind of like an adventure of any sort, you know, and if something goes horribly wrong and I can kind of learn something from it, it's kind of entertaining to me in a way, you know. Like, I've done comedy shows in prison. I've done Sing Sing a couple times. First time was in 2009. I think I did it again in 2010 or 11.
You talk about it on your album. Yeah, it's
yeah, yeah, great. Exactly. And then, you know, went to Mexican prison more recently. I like to do things that scare me and kind of I don't really know what to expect and think that someone might stab me or something. So not really. I think, you know, even like with my first book, I did a house tour where I was just like showing up at strangers' houses and hanging out with them and telling stories and reading from my book and stuff, and even that was like mostly positive. There was one experience that where the host of the party ended up getting really drunk and kind of made it so I wanted to leave. So that's the only thing that comes to mind of like, oh, I kind of wish that didn't go that way. But most of the stuff, you know, it's all fun. I just kind of think of long as I can keep doing the stuff that I love and, you know, be lucky enough to make my living at it, which I am, you know, everything else is just kind of just experiences and stuff to talk about when I'm hanging out with my friends and family and stuff, which is really all I want to do anyway, is just hang out and eat some food, have some drinks, pet my dog. Then everything else is just kind of gravy.
I'm glad that you mentioned your dog, because I was admiring Instagram photographs of your photographs. It's a very hoity-toity way to say Instagram,
you.
But your dog is Little Joe Franklin, and she's gorgeous.
Very beautiful. Yeah, she's beautiful. I actually call her Lucy now, but I call her Little. Her first name was Little Joe Franklin, but then I've sort of maintained that on Instagram just because I still get a kick out of it. But it's just too much work to call a little dog a puppy Little Joe Franklin. So I kind of, the name evolved over time. But yeah, she's beautiful. She's I guess like a pit bull, boxer, Rhodesian Ridgeback. She's, you know, like a lot of mutts look like kind of like a Frankenstein of different dogs, but she kind of has her own thing going. Like a lot of, I walk her around and people always think that she's some breed they've never seen before. She's a lot of fun. I mean, she's a nightmare, too.
Sure.
Definitely, like, once a week at least, completely regret ever having her enter my life. But it's mostly positive.
At the High Mud Comedy Festival, you're performing twice and leading a comedy writing workshop. Have you done that before?
Not really, you know. Not specifically, but I've done different workshops. Like, I did Maximum Fun, which is like a podcast,
yep,
sort of lifestyle network comedy thing. They did a weekend thing where I led a thing about forming a band. And I did like two groups where, you know, it's like 30 people and we formed a band and we had 2 hours to write a song together and name the band. And I brought a fog machine. So in 2 hours, we'd write two songs and the rule was everyone had to play a solo, mm-hmm, of some sort on their whatever instrument, even if they were just playing like woodblock, they'd have to do a woodblock solo. So it was just fun and silly, and I didn't really know what to expect. It ended up being like a super blast. So I think the same thing, I'll just kind of enter this thing, because I think with anything you have to like trust, go with your gut, you know. So a workshop, I think, will just be like, if anything, me encouraging people to just listen to themselves more than anything else, because I think whatever you're doing, that's the one thing I've learned in life. You just kind of have to go with your gut. And like, I spent a lot of time trying to ignore my gut and do what I thought other people wanted me to do, what my family wanted. And it's really just such a waste of time to live like that. And you just have to kind of do what feels right to you. And like, comedy is the best example of that, because I think like, it's just really, you have to make yourself laugh, and like, if no one else laughs, it's like, at least you're making yourself laugh. So, you know, that's really what I think the workshop will be, is just encouraging people to just be like, kind of do what they want to do. I mean, I view all sort of creative endeavors as, you know, I've talked about this before, but it's kind of like, it's like baking brownies or something. Like, just make brownies. Like, I love brownies, so I'm going to bake some brownies, and I'm going to put them out. And I think other people like brownies, too, and hopefully they'll have some brownies. But if no one has the brownies, I win anyway, because I got a plate of brownies still, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of my philosophy of doing anything, really.
I'm
very excited. You know, I'm obviously beautiful up that way in Mass Mocha. There's wild stuff. I think there was like an upside down tree or something,
yep,
last time I was there.
That's right. Those are still there. There's a few of them in
so,
a row.
Yeah. Was very excited. And what's the place? There's the Porches.
The Porches is the inn right behind the museum. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll just put it out there. I'm staying there, ladies. No, just kidding. but yeah, I'm very excited. I wish I could bring Little Joe Franklin, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, unless you had a dog handler, which doesn't seem like that's exactly your style.
But she has no patience for anything that doesn't involve her playing. So she would put up with my act. Everyone that's performing is, you know, I always say, like, when I think of a good festival, it's like I look at the bill and be like, would I go to this? I'm like, yeah. Like, I mean, all the everyone out, Tig, Sean, Ophira, like, everyone doing it is so great. Like, I'm just, like, just, I know it sounds like I'm just chilling or whatever, but I'm just psyched to see everybody else as I am to perform myself. So I encourage others to come on out.
Dave Hill will perform at the High Mud Comedy Festival at Mass Mocha this Friday and Saturday. For more information about the festival at Mass Mocha and late night at other venues in North Adams, visit massmocha.org, massmoca.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.